This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello, everybody. I'm so glad you guys decided to join with me again today on Thoughts Become Things. Hey, this is Jeremy Lopez. If, in case you guys don't know, I'm so glad you joined us today, and I'm excited because, you know, there's so many things we're finding out today we can talk about and so much revelation being poured out in the earth, and I'm just thrilled that we live in under an open heaven. Aren't you? I'm thrilled that we have a God who talks to us and shares with us and shows us how we're co-creators, we have responsibility, we have authority, we have action, we can implement change. I mean, there's so much there that we can do that empowers and improves our own lives through Him. And I'm so thankful for the honor of just being part of this huge, great, vast universe, you know, of God's kingdom that just sort of enlightens us and shows us, you know, hey, if you don't like your life, you can change it. Hey, if you don't like your life, you can restructure the way you're thinking. And I love that feeling, that knowing that my life is not a puppet, you know, my life is not controlled, for lack of better words, but there's flexibility. There's power of my own thoughts. There's power of my own desire. And the Bible makes it plain. It says that God has given us those desires and that God, you know, answers and delights in giving us the desires of our heart. I like that. I like that God didn't just leave us here and say, hey, you do what I tell you to do. But He says, come and reason with me. Come before my throne. Let's talk. Let's chill. Let's drink some coffee. You know, let's talk. And that's what reasoning means, is let's talk and let's share each other's, you know, what we feel is good for the other person. And what that means basically is God actually likes the fact that we can talk to Him and share with Him what we think might be good for us, you know. And I like that because He shares back with us the things that He wants for us to do and things that God said that would be good for us to do. And that reasoning is like not just yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, you don't have a voice, you're stupid, you're ugly, you know, your heart is horrible, you know, your thoughts are horrible, you're a horrible, rotten person, don't talk to me, just listen to what I have to tell you. I'm glad that we don't have a God like that. I'm glad we have a God who says, hey, come and reason with me. In other words, let's sit down and drink some coffee. Share with me what's on your heart today. Share with me your desires. Share with me. Because no good thing will I withhold from you. I want to show you all the good things of my kingdom. And I don't want to hold anything back from you that I know will empower you and help you. And whatever you need, hey, just ask me for it. Asking it shall be given. That's a key thing I love about the kingdom of God. And here on Thoughts Become Things, which is sponsored by Identity Network, I love it because I'm able to share with you guys today this powerful, important principle that I believe will change your life. You know, I was sharing with someone earlier about perception. And I wanted to call today, basically, God doesn't have a perception. And I want you to think about that. God doesn't have a perception. I got this dynamic, enlightened revelation earlier of just understanding, wait a minute, hey, we have perception. And many of you know I talk about perception a whole lot because it plays a role in our lives. And Christians as at large, they just don't want to acknowledge perception. But they know we have one, but we don't want to cross-pollinate with it with our Christian faith. And He wants about to say, you have to. You can't believe, you can't eat, you can't marry, you can't do anything on this planet that, you know, doesn't involve your perception, how you perceive things. I mean, once again, give you an example before I get into today's teaching. You know, if you think all white people are evil, then guess what? You'll grow up and you'll think that, and you will process things through that. If you think all black people are evil, you will process your mind through that. If you're raised in an environment where you think God is mean and vindictive, you'll be raised to believe like that, and you'll perceive everything you do will go through those lenses of that evil, mad judge on the throne just waiting to get you, control you. And one false move, I'm just waiting on you to make a false move so I can get you. I mean, these are things, guys, that you have to remember comes to our perception. And every time we say, man, I heard God say this to me, I heard God, you know, we still need to be careful. Because the truth is, you are still being a filter. You are the filter. And anytime God speaks to you, it always has to be filtered through you. Now, what I mean by that, it doesn't have to be, but unfortunately, it is, because it's coming through my mind. It's coming through me as a vessel, like it's coming through you. And so I always say, keep a check on that. Whenever you receive things from God, make sure you're checking it out. Make sure you're getting that download, you know, from the heavens. Make sure you're getting it and understanding, does this sort of go along with something maybe I've been taught, I've been told in my life? Because we don't want that. What I want is I want fresh revelation. I want something that actually goes against the way I believe, that goes against my limitations, shows me something that is even anti-Jeremy. Because the truth is, I want to grow outside of me. I mean, think about that for a moment. I want to grow outside of me. I don't want to grow in me. Because if I grow in me, that means I'm growing in my comfort zones. I'm growing in all the things I feel is right and good for me. I don't want to grow in that. I want to grow in something that's larger than me. And that's God. I want to grow in something that challenges my own belief system. I want to grow into something where I can attract things into my life, you know, based on the fact that I'm expanding my awareness. I'm expanding my mind, my consciousness. I'm learning to adapt to things outside of myself. Now, what that means is you might think, oh, outside of yourself is bad and evil, wrong things all around us. Well, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, all things are defiled. You're gonna attract defilement, and you're gonna attract impurities. You're gonna attract fragmentations. You will attract the evilness that you believe exists around you. I'm not. Amen? I'm going to attract the pure things, which means I'm going to find the Christ within. I'm going to find God in all things. You know, I was reading in Colossians yesterday, which blew my mind, because Colossians makes it plain that, you know, being in Christ, and of course we've heard the scriptures in Galatians that says in Christ there's either male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. Well, Colossians backs that up as well, but Colossians takes it a step further, and it mentions those same things, but it talks about the Scythians and the barbarians, and it talks about groups of people who are so evil and so bad, and it is talking about, look, truthfully, here's what God, Christ is telling you, first of all, is outside of that, outside of your gender, don't care about that, you know, because that's in me, you know. And so when you look at the kingdom and you realize what he's doing, and I want to encourage everyone, I'm going to find the scripture for you guys if I can, and pardon me for doing this, I'm going to actually go, since I'm doing this sort of live today, I want to be able to find it to where you are understanding, hold on a minute. Scythians, to where you're understanding a little bit more of what the scripture says, because it says something very interesting. Hold on a minute, guys. We'll find this for you, because I want to be able to find it. I don't want to start this over again, because I want you guys to be part of my live thing. So give me a second here, and we're going to read it. Because, you know, one thing I've realized in Colossians is that when it goes on to talk about things such as the kingdom of God, and being in Christ, and it talks about things such as, you know, people and genders, and then it goes into bad people, and you think to yourself, wait a minute, you know, I'm not understanding this, God, because you're dealing with all these different things that deal with, here it is, Colossians 3:11, and it deals with, like, you know, gender and bad people and good people. And then you go on to say something very interesting. So Colossians 3:11, here it is. And here's what it says. Now, we read in Galatians again 3:28, which says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. But then once again, Colossians 3:11, it's interesting because it goes into that reference and it says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, which actually deals with different cultures. Then it says barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. And now check this out. You ready for this, guys? This is one of many, many verses in the Bible that says this. And then it says, but Christ is all and is in all. Now, that's a scary scripture because, I mean, once again, when I say scary, it goes against the religious mindset. But it's letting you know, first and foremost, look, in Christ, there's all genders. In Christ, there's good and bad people. In Christ, there is circumcised and uncircumcised. And we can't deny when people look at that and say, oh, here's what you're saying. I want somebody to say, do you not read the scriptures that I read? Yeah, I mean, do you not have the same Bible I have? And you can, and so it's like people cherry pick things they want to believe. This is one thing that really bothers me. People cherry pick things they want to believe, and they don't understand that I'm literally just reading the scripture. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away from it, you know, which that only refers to the book of Revelation, but I'm just reading scripture. And it's letting you know, hey, in Christ, there are Greek and Jews, two different races of people. They're circumcised and uncircumcised, different cultures. There's barbarian and Scythian, which are different bad people. I mean, so, and then it says, but Christ is all and is in all. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. So is God bigger than us four, no more of our little church and denominations and Christianity? Yes, he is. That's what the scripture says. I didn't make it up, guys, you know. This is what the scripture says. And it shows the goodness of God, that God loves bad and good people. He loves cultures and genders and everything. Sexualities in the sense of, you know, what we are as male and female. I mean, he loves all that stuff. I mean, that's what God is saying, because it's all, because what he's meaning in this situation is he loves all, because all is in him, as it says, and all is actually a place where we don't have to bring forth labels and titles and genders and blah, 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 because what he's saying is, in Christ, it's just, it's all, and I don't see that. He just smears everything, because he doesn't recognize all the labels and titles and genders and this and this and this and this and this, and take on the labels of good and bad, which good and bad, by the way, I know I'm getting off and deviating from my teaching today, but this is good for all of us. And by the way, the good and bad, which is mentioned when it deals with Scythian and barbarians, it deals with the fact of good and bad people. And it deals with Genesis, eating from the tree of life, eating, you know, from the knowledge of the good and evil, and eating from the tree of life. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what Adam and Eve should not have eaten from. That opened up the door for the good and bad. When Jesus died to give us life and life more abundantly. Not, he didn't die to give us good and good more abundantly. Hello. It's not a war of good versus evil. I mean, I want somebody to say, oh my gosh, folks, come on. Do you not read the Bible? It doesn't, nowhere in the New Testament does it ever say, God's fighting good against bad. That's make-believe, superstitious, Superman, villain, bad villain, bad Batman thing. Good and bad come from the same exact tree. I did say it, the Bible did. Good and bad comes from the same tree, the knowledge of good and evil. It comes from the same exact tree that Eve ate from and Adam ate from. Because the tree we're supposed to eat from is the tree of life. Life transcends past good and evil. Well, I've done good things. I've done good things. You have done good things. Great. You're still eating from the same tree. God said, I don't want you to produce good things. I want you to produce life and life more abundantly. That's what I died to give you. I didn't die to give you good or greater or gooder. I died to give you life. And so here's where you have to understand, and I'm getting off a little bit from my teaching, but I'll get back to it in a minute. Here's where you have to understand that our perception comes from that mentality. Our perception is made from our upbringing. Now, our upbringing is made from what? Peers, enemies, people, you know, places, things, parents, you know, things we watch on television, teachers in school. I mean, you know, the abuses, the molestation of people, the rape of people, the beautiful baby that's born, the marriage of people. It's good and bad. Do you hear what I'm saying? The most evil of the most evils and the good of the goods is what I'm trying to tell you. Your perception is made from that. And folks, if I can awaken you today in this podcast to get this, it would be everlasting for you. You would never look at life the same. Because I haven't in 25 years. Because I understand the concept of what it means of why we have a perception. Let me put it this way. What if I told you your perception, this is really good, folks, listen to me. Your perception was created the moment Eve and Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, you can't prove that. Well, maybe I can't prove it, but I can let you know, because perception comes from good and evil things. If you have someone who is molested all their life, they're gonna wake up one day being a victim, and their perception is gonna be warped from the very person or whatever gender molested them. They'll have issues. That's why they go through counseling. And counseling is great. It deals with what? Their life. It deals with their brain, their mind, and how they perceive things to maybe possibly shift that. And does it take years and years sometimes to shift that and maybe reshape their perception because of maybe the damage that was done to me or you? Yes, it does. And some people's perception still never gets over it. Because they always perceive that man did this to me, that woman did this to me. And if you think for a moment, folks, that men are the ones that are molesting, you got another thing coming. A lot of women molest too. This is not about a gender. It's about an equal opportunity employer. It's about everyone does evil, okay? No one person does more than the other. Everybody does evil. And what that means is you might be in this broadcast maybe in spirituality, and you might be thinking, oh, wait a minute, I don't really understand this kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. This will help anyone in any walk of life, because it's letting you know that the moment Adam and Eve, quote unquote, fell, you know, ate from the garden of, you know, in the tree in the garden, whatever you want to call that, okay? The idea is they ate from the mindset that awakened in them of good and evil, good and bad. And so at that moment, perception had to be born, because beforehand, they didn't have a perception. They had life. Think about that. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They went about naked. Naked wasn't a bad thing or a good thing. What do we do today? We fight in cultures. Oh, well, you know, in Britain, you know, over in those liberal areas, women walk around with no bras on at the beach. Oh my God, what a horrible thing. And then over here in America, that's how we think. In Britain, they look at that and say, we don't see it as being evil or bad. That's your problem, not ours. And which one's true? Is it because they're liberal? No, it's because it's their culture. They don't look at things. When you introduce things, for example, into culture, and you make it known it's not a taboo thing, it's not an evil thing, then it doesn't become a bad thing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, women, cover your breasts when you go to the beach. I mean, it doesn't. Now, am I for that? Yeah, I'm for covering yourself, because I'm American. You know, it's the same situation that you might look at that and think to yourself, well, that's just not right. According to whose standards? Yours? That's pride and ego to me. According to your standard, why? Why? Because your culture lets you know it's just not the right thing to do. It's not integrity. It's not, you know, modest. Well, that's your interpretation of it. It's not a biblical interpretation, because nowhere in the scripture does it tell you that. It's a cultural modest that guess what? You've been surrounded by in a culture that formulates the mindset that this is right versus this is wrong. We can look and I love Ireland. I would give a shout out to my friend Mary, because I love Mary. I won't even say her last name, but I don't want to embarrass her. But she listens to the podcast. Out of the thousands of people we know listen to it, and she lives in Ireland. I love her to pieces. And she'll tell you, from maybe Irish or maybe Scotland, it's more of a Scottish thing, really. But you know, they were the Celtic things. I'm sure she's probably going to correct me after this. But you know, they were the Celtic. You know, the men were the Celtic things. It looks sort of like skirts, or maybe looks like a little bit like a dress. Well, if you wore that in America, if a man wore a dress in America, oh, look at that. That's so wrong. Biblically, that's just wrong. No. Don't be disrespecting the Bible, okay? Don't disrespect the Bible and throw the Bible in there when, no offense, you're just ignorant to what the Bible says, because you're being very, very, I don't want to use the word stupid, but you're being very ignorant, because the Bible doesn't say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say men should not wear dresses. Well, guess what? That's sort of like a dress. It's a Celtic, you know, but it's sort of like a dress. But guess what? Does it make it right or wrong? It means in our culture, we just don't do that. Men tend to wear blue jeans and drive trucks, and I don't drive a truck, but men tend to drive trucks and wear blue jeans and wear shorts or whatever, you know? Men over there tend to not do that. And is it right or wrong? Has nothing to do with right or wrong. But see, it's a cultural thing, and it's a mindset thing, where we look and we say, that's just wrong. In other words, that's bad, that's evil. Or that's right, that's good. And yet both of those things you talk about, does it come from the Bible? It comes from a mentality of eating from the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge of the tree of the good and evil. That's where you're eating from. The moment you say, that's just wrong, what you're saying is, I'm eating from the tree that I'm not supposed to be eating from, every single time. And cultures do that all the time. We can look at so many cultures and say, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And we write it off as being liberal. As if, what does that really mean? And you think, and we act like liberal is an evil, bad word. You know, you write off as liberal because your perception is how you're raised, thinking your culture is all right and knows all the answers. And we do everything according to the scriptures, as if you know what the Bible really says in its original language. And, you know, I think the idea is called ego and pride that comes before a fall. I'm American. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the person that feels like my culture's right and my culture believes only what the Bible says, as if I know everything the Bible says. If that's the case, then certain Jews who actually rabbis study day and night, unlike most preachers in America who might study on Saturday night for their sermon on Sunday morning, or maybe go to Bible college for 5 years. Have you ever studied Judaism, where the priests and the rabbis, they study day and night nonstop? Don't you think they would know a little bit more than we would about the Torah, the Old Testament, and the laws and everything else? And yet they, and you look at their culture and you think, whoa, they live a totally different life than we do. And yet you would think you're right versus them being wrong. Huh. Interesting subject, is it not? So you have to take it into accountability that everything you're seeing, everything you're thinking, is through the lenses of how you were raised. Now then, let's get on God for a moment. Let's talk about God for a moment, okay? So this is the situation you have to understand, that you have seen life this way, but yet when you look and you hear the fact, huh, interesting, God doesn't have a perception, because God wasn't raised as a child. Now, we're talking about Jesus, we're talking about God, God Almighty, Jehovah God. And yet you think to yourself, he wasn't raised as a child. He doesn't know anything about being a child. I mean, of course, he is not a child. He's not a man. He's not a father. He's not a mother. He's not a wife. You know, God is everything you can title, and yet he's none of them. He's so much of every one of them that all of them just fizzle out into nothingness, because he is the nothing that is the everything. Does that make sense to you guys? If I can say that in a good, respectful way. So when you look at God, because, you know, if you think of God as nothing, it's people freak out thinking, oh my God. But what I'm saying is God is housed with every title we can ever think of. But yet when you put every single title together, it's almost like if you put every color together. I think doesn't every color together make I think either equals black or white, I think. And you think of that and you're thinking, wow, I see no color in these things. You know, I don't see any color in white, nor do I see any color in black. And so if you think about it, you realize that if he has the title and labels of all of this, then all of this actually just fizzles out and just phases out into the nothing. And so he is the everything, the allness, that sort of equals the nothingness, because of the fact that he is all. He's everything. Are you with me? And when you're everything, you sort of, maybe all your colors sort of dissolve into the whiteness or the blackness. Are you with me when I say that to you? Do you guys get that? This is my type of revelational way of showing you just how amazing God is outside of titles and everything else. And so that's a great power and of standing in awe at our amazing God. Now, so God doesn't have a perception. Let's get back to that for a moment. So we know God wasn't a child per se. He wasn't raised, and he doesn't see color, gender. He doesn't see any of that stuff like we do, right? And so because of that, he can't have a perception. Because if God has a perception, then God sees things by limitations. Because perception equals limitation, in the sense of your perception always equals limitations of everything in creation according to what you were told is right, wrong, what you were told was bad and evil. So your perception is created by all that, all those standards, for lack of better words. And so we have to remember, God doesn't have a perception. Why? Why doesn't God have a perception? Because God is life. Think about that. I want that to soak into you for a moment. Because God is life. Now, we hear the old saying, God is good. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And the Bible says God is good. But you have to remember that word good doesn't equal the English language good. It doesn't mean any type of language on earth that equals the word good. We can hear of, you know, Acts chapter 2, where they spoke in other tongues, you know, and what that means, it's like it's a heavenly language. We can put it this way. We really don't know what tongues are. I mean, if you think about it, we hear, you know, I'm a pretty much scholar in a lot of Hebrew and Greek language, but I don't want to be that scholar. I don't want to be the scholar that says, let me tell you what it all is. You don't really know. I want somebody to sit down in the room with scholars and say, quit being so prideful and just say, we really don't know, but here's some theories that we're coming up with what this is and that is. That makes more sense to humanity. But when you try to build yourself up as if you know all the answers to things you know for a fact you really don't know and you can't prove it, then, you know, then don't be that person, because you're trying to prove yourself to be so holy because you know all, you know, the Almighty. And you shouldn't do that. But here's some theories on what tongues are. Tongues can considered to be a heavenly language, okay? And, you know, when you think of speaking in tongues, and yet it's a heavenly language. But we don't really know if it means that it's almost every single tongue on earth, in other words, every single language on earth, maybe blended into one, that creates a oneness of that heavenly language, which I think would be, that's probably to me what I would think it would be, because it's so powerful, that maybe since God says, you know, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, maybe it means basically one language, and that one language is heaven. Maybe it's combined into every language on earth. If you all blended it together like in a soup pot and blended it together, maybe that's what it really means. And so that makes it supernatural. That makes it miraculous to me. So let's just say that's it, okay? And if that was the case, then we're looking at the fact that we are in a dissecting language of maybe a certain percentage out of all the other languages on planet Earth, not just the languages that exist today, but of all the languages that have died out. Aramaic language pretty much has died out. Not, I mean, there's very people that even really, really remember it on planet Earth, much less maybe still keep it a little alive in their little communities scattered out throughout the world. There's things such as, you know, the Celts, the Celtic language. I mean, you deal with, you know, that's sort of not really a big spoken language that much anymore. You know, you think of so many Sanskrit. Sanskrit's one of them. It's more like an Indian type of, I think it's a little bit Hindu type of language. But Sanskrit's not really spoken that much anymore either. And so if you think about it, a lot of languages are slowly dying out, you know, or maybe trying to be remembered or brought back up, you know, to life to where we cannot forget them. But you also think about all the languages in distant foreign countries, you know, in tribes through Africa that have died out maybe hundreds of years ago, maybe in India hundreds and or maybe thousands of years ago. And so we really don't know, you know, we understand by our perception of the languages that we know of today, okay? And so that's why we have to look at reality and understand that we perceive because we fail. We fail because we ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because we ate the tree of knowledge of good and evil fruit, then we're looking at life and we're realizing, I really don't have all the answers. And I realize that, you know what, I don't really understand everything, but I do understand this one thing, and that is, I can't go by my perception. I can't go by my feeling of culture all the time as if it's right. I can't go by the fact of, ooh, this looks wrong to me. Ooh, this is just wrong. What makes something wrong? What makes something wrong? So in other words, my point being, is there evil, is there badness in the earth? Sure there is. Can we recognize some of it? Sure we can. Can we recognize the good things of life? Sure we can. But these things, whatever you do, don't let them rule you. Okay? That's my point with this podcast today. Don't let these things rule you. Goodness, evilness, bad, don't let any of it rule you. Because you were created for life. You weren't created for goodness or badness. You were created for life. Life, if you can get this through your head, this will be amazing. Life always transcends. That's the best word to use. Because it transcends past good and evil. Because life and life more abundantly is not just a lifestyle of glitz and glamour and the lifestyles of the rich and famous. You know, think about it. You know, a life more abundantly has been translated into by many preachers as just pure money. I have an abundance of life. Oh man, how much money do you have? I mean, that's sort of the illusion of that means you have a lot of materialistic stuff. That's not true. That might be some little portion of it, maybe, that God wants to prosper you and be in good health as your soul prospers. But the truth is, it's not always talking about money. It's talking about the reality of life, which is the abundance and expandedness in all things. Body, soul, and spirit. The expandedness of my emotions being utilized to help people, to empower humanity by raising them up. You know, my body, taking care of my body to my body is living life. Now think of it this way. When I get in my 80s, I'm believing God I'm going to be very healthy. But when I get in my 80s, do I say my body's good? Or do I say my body's healthy? You know, or I'm in good health. Think about that. I would say, like most people, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm in pretty good health. Or I'm pretty healthy. You normally wouldn't say, my body's good. That's just not something we say. Or you wouldn't say, my body's bad. I mean, when somebody has cancer in the hospital, do we say, their body's bad? No, we don't say that, do we? We say they have cancer. You know, they're not doing so well. They're sick. Or they have an infirmity. Whatever word you want to use. But we don't use the word good and bad. But if you think about it, why do we translate good and bad in other areas of our lives? You see what I'm saying? And so you have to understand that what if God is letting us know, you know, transcend into the past, into the word of life, and to understand that life goes beyond perception, because God doesn't perceive. God is life. God has life shooting from Him. God is the life that comes to you to bring you an expandedness in all things of your life, to where you're living, you know, the strength of God. And there's nothing wrong with incorporating your living the goodness of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But you got to remember that even when you use the word good and goodness, it doesn't mean the goodness in which you think it means. It transcends past the goodness of our languages, okay? And so don't always say God is good, and all of a sudden your perception in your mind goes to what you perceive good is. The moment you do that, you disrespect God by bringing Him into your goodness awareness and the goodness according to your definition of what goodness is. Very disrespectful. Don't ever do that. If you're going to use the word good for God, which God is good, you want to be able to realize, but I don't know what that means exactly. And because God's good, not our good, God's goodness is equivalent to His life, because He's life. Okay? That's why He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm the way, the truth, and good. He didn't say, I have the keys of death, hell, death, hell, and bad. He said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And so you have to understand what He's saying here. And when it deals with His action like that in those different areas, He doesn't use the word good and bad, because He's letting you know what's more important is life. Because life is the thing that is the absolute highest standard, the highest point you want to reach in this universe, if I can say it that way. So I wanted to leave you guys with that today. I think it's a very powerful statement to understand exactly what perception is, that you have it, God doesn't, where it comes from, what it represents, and basically, what do we do with it? And these are things I wanted to answer today in this podcast. So I hope you guys have a dynamic day today. And once again, when people say, what does this have to do with law of attraction? It has everything to do with attraction. Everything. Because I'll leave you with this. Because your attraction of what you attract into your life and the style of your living has to do with you transcending past your perception. Because if you perceive that money's good and I have to have money in order to live, and money is everything to me, then you're in the love of money, which is becomes the root of all evil. And guess what? Your perception, according to what you have seen, that money makes people happy, and man, if I just had money, my life would be going good. That's your perception, and to you, it'll be towards your detriment. It'll tear you. It'll take you down. If you think, for example, you know, that all I need is this and this and this and this and this, according to your perception, it'll take you down no matter what it is in life. And so it makes sense, because why? Think of this, why? Because these things only come through a perception of understanding of what you perceive a good life is versus a bad life. How many just got that? And that's why it's so important for us to really, and sometimes this can be a little mind-blowing. I get that. It can be very mind-blowing. But once you absorb it, you understand a deeper level, a deeper truth, a deeper realm of your understanding. And you realize at that moment, no wonder why God even says in His Word, I want to give you peace that surpasses your understanding. Let me put it this way. God gives you the peace that surpasses your perception, which means quit trying to figure it out and thinking what's good for the situation, what's bad for the situation. Everything in creation needs life, not goodness and badness. Think about that. Everything in creation needs life, not goodness and badness. Because goodness can fade away, folks. That's right. Goodness can fade away. Badness can fade away, because there are things that can easily be shifted and changed. And so, if that's the case, what stays and what remains is life. Okay? That's the key I want you to understand. That's why I can go on and on with this, but that's why if you think about the fact that we were meant to never die. Dying is a bad thing. Well, when I mean that, I mean, like, you know, it's not really something we look forward to. So it's part of what we can call the curse and Garden of Eden, whatever you want to call it. But we were never meant to die. We were meant to live. Put another way, we were meant to have life. And so when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what fell under the category of good and bad? Death. Anything and everything that is the opposite of life. And folks, whether you acknowledge it or not, good and evil is the opposite of life. That's right. Good is the opposite of life. because you still don't really realize, no one understands what God's goodness actually is. But one thing we can equate it to, what we can figure out from in the Bible, is that His goodness doesn't represent your goodness, your culture, your standards, your ego, your pride, me. His goodness represents and more is more equivalent to life. So I wanted to leave that with you guys today. By the way, if you get a chance, you've got to sign up for our Hot Off the Press Book Club. Man, people are signing up left and right. It's crazy. And every single month, guys, I put out a book. I mean, a thick book. I don't put out a little pamphlet. I don't put out a little, you know, 15-page, 50-page. I put out like about 175 to 300-page book every single month. Can you believe that? I have people on my staff that's hired as an editor and grammatically fixing stuff for me because my grammar is maybe not the best in the world. It tends to be, it's good, but not the best in the world. And so I write a book every month. I get before the Lord, I get revelation, I write a book every month. And when you're on the Hot Off the Press Book Club, you get free shipping. You get an automatic set price of $15. It's all in the continental USA, by the way, folks, only. Sorry for those outside of the continental USA. You get, oh gosh, everything from a signed, personal signed autograph from me. You get the book before it comes out on the market first, shipped to you. You get a free ebook of that same book, which is a $10 value, free, sent to your email. You get, I mean, you can't beat this, guys. You can't beat this. And so that's why I'm saying go today and sign up. Because when the book comes out, if you're not on the Hot Off the Press Book Club, if you're not on it, then a lot of these brand new books, those who are on the program, get that book shipped to them. At all the specials I've told you. If you're not on the program and that book will be locked into maybe a package, you can't get the book by itself. You have to buy the package to get the brand new book. So I'm trying to get you to get on the Hot Off the Press Book Club to where you can just get the book, because you can't beg and plead and say, but I just want that book. I need that book. I would say, I'm sorry, you got to sign up for the Hot Off the Press Book Club. If not, you're going to have to get the package of the book. And don't get me wrong, the packages are powerful. Like this month is Get Out of Your Rut. We have sold hundreds of this book, guys. This is like a huge book for us, because everybody has a rut and being stagnant and have void and they want out of it. We all do. And I'm going to teach you exactly how to do that. This book it will set you free. So Get Out of Your Rut book comes this month with two additional teachings I did on basically how to get your joy back and actually how to deal with the things and find out the things that are keep holding you back. So you get these two teachings with the book, and so you're going to pay, I think, like $29, something like that price. I don't remember the price of it, so don't hold me to it. With the new book, but you can't buy the book without the CDs. That's how the ball balances. And so that's what I'm saying. If you want to buy the package, go for it. These teachings will totally bless you, and you need these. They accompany the book. So it's going to be great, but don't expect to buy the book separate without those, because it's not going to happen unless you're on the book club. All right? So go today and sign up for the book club. It takes off automatically every month on the same day you choose, $15. That's it. $15 a month, and you get the book shipped to you free. No hassle, nothing else. You get the ebook shipped to you or emailed to you, no hassle whatsoever. You get an autograph, come into your front door, bam, there it is. All right, that's all it takes. So get on the program today. I mean, you know, you'll be losing more money if you don't. So get on the program today. You guys have an awesome, powerful, good day today, blessed day today. And don't forget to start living the life that you know God has chosen for you to live and start visualizing it. And that's what you need to have. Have a life that is worth living by expounding the awareness of life and live that kind of reality, because you deserve it. Have a blessed day today.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.